Find your seat and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You guys can take a break for just a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Ushers, go ahead and pass out those outlines here today. On your way out, you can drop your offering in the receptacles on the way out as you leave today. So ushers, be ready to receive that and guide those folks. So we are going to receive an offering, but it'll be on your way out here today. Or if you can give electronically, that'd be great. But we're going to skip everything else. Is that all right? Okay. For the last several weeks, we have been focusing on the scriptural principles of freedom. God wants us to be free. And how many know it would be very silly of us to just go on to the next thing if people aren't yet free? Now, we've learned a lot about freedom. We've learned what happened at the cross, that at the cross of Jesus Christ, God purchased for us our freedom. He laid all the curses, all the sins, all of the issues of the world. He laid them on Jesus. And so he became a curse for us, so we don't have to be under a curse. We don't have to be in bondage anymore. We learned that there's power in spiritual alignment. As we line up our thinking and our actions with what God's word says is true about us, good things happen. And some of you have been confessing what's true about you from God's word for weeks now, and you're seeing a difference in your life. Several of you have testified to me just how powerful that is. And so we praise God for that. And then Chaplain Rush shared with us the importance of playthings and playmates and playgrounds. You got to close the door to the devil. You got to close the door to ungodly influences. You got to close the door to the way you are allowing the enemy and bondage and stuff in your life. All right? How many know there's our part in getting free as well? Part of that is closing the door. And Pastor Tim shared about the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key to everything. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is the key to everything. This past weekend, we had some guests with us sharing Friday night and Saturday, and it was fantastic, fantabulous. Give me a new adjective. I'll use it today. It was awesome. But once again, revisiting the idea that forgiveness is the key to freedom. We have to forgive if we want to walk in freedom. And then last week, we shared watching Herod's daughter, the power that pornography has on us, and the way out. We gave away over 250 copies of Every Man's Battle last Sunday. And so we challenge all the guys to read it by Sunday morning. And so I'm assuming if you're here, you read it. God bless you. Now, we did run out of copies. And so if you were here last week, guys, and you didn't get a copy, those are available at the hub on your way out today. For those of you that already read that, you say, what do I do with it now? Pass it on to another guy. All right? So freely you have received, the Bible says, freely give, okay? So we gave it to you. After you're done with it, God's done with it with you, pass it on to another guy, and we believe that God's going to set some folks free. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then Wednesday night, if you were here Wednesday night, boy, we got a big surprise. I thought it was going to be just a nice service. It turned out to be an incredible service with Lloyd Vandenberg, and then this past weekend, our weekend of freedom. You say, Pastor, I missed all of that. Well, just a reminder, miss a Sunday, miss a lot. Miss a Wednesday, miss a lot. I know stuff's going on and people's lives are busy, but it's important to hear what God has to say. All of it's online if you want to catch up, and I'll encourage you to check that out. But here's what God is speaking to me here today. Because I was going to go to Matthew chapter 25 and talk to you about the divine urgency. We need to be ready for the second coming of Christ. But God brought me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, because I heard the Lord say to me, I'm not quite done yet. You've got one more thing yet to say. And the reason is because the goal for all of us is to be free, right? To get free and to stay free. We want to live in this freedom. Come on, somebody. I don't want to have to come back next summer, all right, let's take another 6 weeks and let's go through this all again and help everybody get free. There is a way to stay free. There is a directive from the Lord on how we can live in this freedom that God has for us. Now, can we all agree that God wants all of us to be free from sin, free from bad habits, free from addictions, free from all the hurts and habits and hang-ups of life. Many of you have started going to Celebrate Recovery, and you're walking through that progress, and we thank God for that, because we know that God's will for us is to be free. God's will is for the chains to be off of us so that we can be all that God has called us to be. And how many know, I want to go to a church where everyone is free. I want to be a part of a body where people can experience the freedom of God. I want to be that church that when people come to you and say, where do I go when I'm addicted and when I'm hung up and when I'm hurting? Oh, you go to Grace Assembly of God. Where do I go when I'm in trouble and demons are harassing me and my family? Oh, they know how to deal with that at Grace Assembly of God. Where do I go when my life is all messed up and I don't have any hope and there's no power in my life? Where do I find the power to get free? Oh, you know that church over there, you know, there on 31, across from Suburban Glass, that's the church you want to go to. I want to be that church, all right? I want us to be that church, that we're not just talking talk. We're not just singing songs. We're not just doing church, but we're meeting with God, and God is setting people free. God is drawing people to the cross, changing their lives, and together we're walking in the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Okay, what's this verse that God keeps speaking to you about? It's very simple. We already sang it this morning. The scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Say that with me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, what that means is the Spirit of God equals freedom. Freedom equals the Spirit of God. If I want to stay free, if I want to live in freedom and be an overcomer, then I need a relationship with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is what brings freedom. The Spirit of God is what keeps us in freedom. Now let's do a little context here, because we know that Paul's audience, because it's found in the book of 2 Corinthians, his audience is the Corinthian church. Now watch this. His context of his teaching is that, hey guys, you no longer have to keep the Old Testament law to be saved. Okay, I'm all of a sudden we kind of dug a little deeper, so don't let me lose you, okay? Hang with me, all right? So his context, he says, guys, you don't have to keep the Old Testament law to be saved. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, there's a veil that covers your eyes, so that you can't see that. You keep trying to get saved by doing good works. You keep trying to become a citizen of heaven by checking things off your list. And Paul says, hey guys, you don't have to do that anymore. And he says, we can't see the things we need to see. He's implying bondage or a lack of freedom. And he says, it's the truth that sets us free. Now watch this. Freedom in this context is the freedom to live without bondage. Now think about this. In the context of what Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's freedom to live without bondage. Now watch this. How many know the less we have of God's Spirit, the less freedom we will experience in our lives? I'm making it simple for you today. The more we have of God's Spirit in our lives, the more we will walk in the freedom that God wants us to have. So if I'm free, how do I stay free? How do I live free? How do I keep this freedom that God has given to us? Three simple thoughts. Number one, a Spirit-filled life is the key to freedom. A Spirit-filled life is the key to living in freedom. Paul says in Galatians 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, it's on your outline, it's on the screen. Let's look at it again. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you won't be addicted to sin. Walk in the Spirit and you won't be bound. Walk in the Spirit and you'll be free. Am I being faithful to the text here? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things that you wish. I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. We've talked about this, right, from Romans, right? So what's the problem? Paul says the solution is walking in the Spirit. Watch this. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under what? Same author, Paul, from 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, same topic. Come on, hang with me. You're going to see something really good. Even though the word freedom is not used in these verses, it's the exact same context. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from trying to be saved through the law, through good works. But listen, but Paul expands on the exact same topic here. How many know we use Scripture to interpret Scripture? We don't read a verse and say, oh, I think this means this. And, you know, and brother so-and-so says, I think this means this. And brother crazy man says, no, I think it means this. How do we figure out what it means? We got to look at what else the Bible says about that. The same context. Scripture interprets Scripture. Okay? So it's the same context, same conversation. Watch this. Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You won't be bound up by sin and its consequences. So Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom from living under the law and from the consequences of your sin. Look at Galatians 5, verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. I'm going to read it, the ones off the screen, so we're all reading the same translation. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. We dealt with that last week, right? Impurity. Debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, none of this will be in your life. Are you following me? Can you put that verse back up there, guys? We're just kind of going with it here today, all right? If you walk in the Spirit, none of these areas will be evident in your life. You will be free from the effects of sin. Now, but Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I have a problem with adultery. I'm a Christian, but I have a problem with fornicating. I'm a Christian, but I have a problem with rage and anger. I'm a Christian, but I have a problem with getting drunk. I'm a Christian, but I have a problem with murdering people. I'm a Christian, but I teach people heresies and I repeat them all the time on Facebook. Now, how many know all of these things are bondage? They're slavery. Now, watch this. The Bible's got some pretty serious things to say. Those who live like this are not just people with problems. The Bible says you won't inherit the kingdom of God. It gets serious, doesn't it? So Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. All right? Does God want you to be free? The solution, the antidote for these things is living a life filled with the Spirit of God. Are you seeing this? This is what Paul is saying. The antidote of this stuff in your life is living a life filled with the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Now, the challenge for a lot of us is when we think of freedom, we think as, I've got to stop doing this. I've got to stop doing drugs. I've got to stop drinking. Or I've got to stop my sexual immorality, stop this, stop that. And if I stop it, that means I'm free. Now, how many know that's a great goal? We need to stop doing that stuff. I mean, that's the first step. It's not the last step of what Paul is talking about here. The goal is to be filled with something else. Not to just be emptied of the junk, not to just stop doing things or participating in things that we know that God doesn't approve of. It's I'm going to stop doing that, but the way I'm going to stop doing it and to keep myself from doing it is I'm going to replace it with something else. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, Jesus described it this way. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. I mean, the weekend of freedom came and we just got all cleaned up. Isn't that great? Then he goes, but when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. How many know this is real? And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Jesus is illustrating very clearly, it's not just enough to get free. It's not just enough to clean up the house. You have to do something else in addition. You need to fill it up with something. And that something is God's Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. God wants freedom to be in us, so he wants his Spirit to be in us. Come on, somebody. Last week, we had a team of 16 students and leaders who went to the country of Peru on a missions trip. We'll hear more about them next week. But Pastor Phil was sharing me the story that on the first service they were there, the first Sunday night, I'm going to read it, and this is I asked him to describe it, and so let me read it how he describes it. He says, a couple from our team began to pray for a man in the church, and he grew stiff. He then fell to the floor and began arching his back and hissed. One of our leaders went and got the missionary. Isn't that the way it goes? I mean, stuff like that's happening. You go get somebody. Go get the missionary. He's used to this stuff. That's not part of Pastor Phil's story, but I'm sad in that. By the time the missionary and I got over there, John Reinerson and Jeffrey Cardwell were holding down this 5'2" man as he was yelling in pain, as it looked like he was having a seizure. The missionary then began asking this man what his name was in Spanish and asked him if he wanted to be set free. The missionary told all of us surrounding this man to pray in the spirit. After about 10 minutes of praying, while this man was screaming, he rolled over and vomited and sat up in a chair. And it was just like that, this man was set free from those demons. That's good news. I mean, God still sets people free from demonic oppression and bondage. If you're here today and you're oppressed of the devil, and he is harassing you and harming you, I've got some good news. In just a few moments, we're going to pray. We'll believe God will set you free. And I've got some good news. We don't even have to call a missionary. Amen? Amen? Now, here's the rest of the story. He was later at the Sunday service that week and was filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not just enough to be delivered. It's not just enough to be set free. Because a lot of us over these past few weeks, well, I'm doing a little better, Pastor. I'm doing better. Praise God for that. We celebrate with you. We are excited for you. You're doing better, all right? You're getting gooder and gooder. That's awesome. But I think what God is saying to us here today is that we have to do, our goal has to be more than just to do better. The goal is to be filled with something else. And that something else is God's Spirit. This weekend, Pastor Dave Woodcock quoted A.W. Tozer. I thought it was so awesome. He put it this way. The best way to keep the devil out is to keep Christ in. Some of you should write that down. You should tweet it. You should Facebook it. You should Instagram it. The best way to keep keep the devil out is to keep Christ in. Shut the door, fill me up, Jesus. Now, here's the second part of this message today, and then we're about to pray. A Spirit-filled life happens through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. A Spirit-filled life. Okay, so if God wants me to be filled with the Spirit, what does that look like? What does a Spirit-filled life look like? Well, it happens through a relationship. Everybody say relationship. Because how many know when people mention the Holy Spirit, a lot of pictures come to mind. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's speaking in tongues. Oh, the Holy Spirit is spiritual gifts and words of prophecy like we heard this morning or emotionalism or miracles. That's the Holy Spirit. Now listen, if there's one word or one concept I think all of us miss so often when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's this. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not the Force from Star Wars. The Holy Spirit is not an it or a thing or the boogeyman. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Bible says that we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody, right? He's not a thing. He's not an it. He's a person. He has a name and he has many descriptions. And we all can develop a relationship with him. Now, how many know some people will develop an acquaintance relationship with the Holy Spirit? And some people will develop a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's just like you have an acquaintance relationship with some people, but you have a deep relationship with others. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. You have as much of God as you want. Let me say that again. You and I have as much of God's power and presence in our lives as we want, because it's up to us to develop that relationship. We can talk to him. We can listen to him. We can welcome him. We can grieve him. We can drive him away. He has a voice, so we can listen to him. He's our friend. And here's the good news. He wants to help us. Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come," he's talking about the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin." Jesus said, "It's better for you that I leave." Now put yourself in the position of those disciples saying, what you talking about, Jesus? It's better if you leave. We like it here. You're great, Pastor Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, I'm only here in the flesh. But when I leave, God's going to send the helper, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with everybody in the spiritual realm." And look at his name, Helper. I love that. Helper. Listen, we need to develop a relationship with this person called the Holy Spirit. And in just a few moments, we're going to come back to the altar. We're going to pray. And I'm just trying to help you understand that it really is up to you. We say, okay, you know, when I come, I'm going to ask for more of God's presence, more of God's Spirit in my life. Some of us come to the altar like this. I mean, I'm ready, God. You know, just like he's going to smack us upside the head, or he's going to knock us over, or something crazy is going to happen to us. It will not happen. You only have as much of God's presence as you want. He will only do in you what you allow him to do, what you invite him to do. That's called a relationship. Now, he is supernatural. And that's the part that kind of, but can we just take a time out for a second? Some people say, "Well, Pastor, you know, if you let God's Spirit move and you talk about these kinds of things, you'll scare people." Let's think about that. I'm thinking of some of the most popular television shows on TV and the movies that kids watch and the video games they play. And we're going to come to church and somebody says, "Shundai," and they're going to get scared? Are you kidding me? I think we need this. I think there's a generation that's crying out for something bigger than themselves. And that answer is the Holy Spirit of God. So if you want to live in freedom, you need to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. If you want to live in this freedom that God has for us, you need to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the relationship is completely up to you. It's whatever you desire it to be. Now, here's the last thing. God desires every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we could live in freedom. Now, the Bible describes a relationship with the Holy Spirit called Spirit baptism, or being baptized in the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many know when Jesus was about to ascend to heaven after his resurrection, he had been raised from the dead, he's about to ascend to heaven, and he gives his followers the Great Commission: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every nation, making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty big commission that we're still required to fulfill. But then he says something. He says, but before you get on your journey, before you go do anything, he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, here's what he said: "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, let's take a time out. Who was he talking to? He was talking to people who are already following him. These were already followers of Jesus. So Jesus said, you need something else to do what I've called you to do. He says, you need the Holy Spirit to come upon you and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Now, what did that look like? Because they did exactly what he said. They went to Jerusalem. They went to an upper room. And the Bible says, for 10 days, they're praying. How many know when you're praying for 10 days, you're serious about getting more of God in your life? Oh, that was not the response I was looking for. When you're praying and consecrating yourself to the Lord for 10 days, you are serious about being filled with God's presence. You have as much of God as you want. The Bible says they went, they prayed for 10 days, and here's what happened. What did that look like? What did that promise look like? Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated them and came to rest on each of them. And all of them, this is the Bible's words, not mine, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Jesus said, go wait till you're filled with power from the Holy Spirit. All right, Jesus, we don't know what that looks like, but we're going to go do what you said. So they did what he said. How many know obedience is very good? Obedience to what God says is always very good. I'm taking a time out to say to somebody, and I'm being a word of witness to somebody, a word of confirmation to somebody. God has spoken to you about what you need to do to walk in freedom, and you're not doing it yet, so just obey and watch God do the work in your life, all right? So they obey. They go to the upper room. They pray. What happens? The Holy Spirit is poured out. How do they know they're filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, by the way, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm trying to tell you today, there's a special relationship with the Holy Spirit that's called, that Jesus called, that the Bible calls being baptized in the Holy Spirit, where I submit myself to the Spirit of God, that he leads me, he guides me, he directs me, he fills me, he endues me with power to live for God, to serve God, to live in freedom, and to tell others about this great gospel of Jesus Christ. It's called being filled with the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Let me make it easy. God wants us to be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So if I am filled with the Spirit, how many know that means that's how I walk in freedom? Now, let me take a time out for a second. So, Pastor, what you're saying is, if I speak in tongues once, I'll be free. That's not what I'm saying. Now, there's a whole lot of people that have been set free over the last few weeks that speak in tongues. Paul said, did not say in Galatians, speak in tongues and everything's going to be okay. No, he said, walk in the Spirit. I'm going to show you the difference here in just a second. He said, walk in the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And praying in the Holy Ghost is one of the ways we stay filled with the Holy Ghost. I assume because you're quiet, it means you're thinking. Okay, Pastor, so how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked. So how do I do this? How do I live this Spirit-filled life? How do I develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit? It's three, I would call it, if you want to break it down to three simple things, here it is. Number one, you just got to ask. Ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you fill me with everything you have for me? Fill me. If you ask, Jesus said, he'll answer. All I got to do is ask. The Holy Spirit's a person, right? You are not a robot. He is not going to slap you upside the head, grab your tongue. It's just not going to happen. I promise when I pray for you, I pray for you with my right hand, not the one I just... So everybody say ask. Just got to ask. And the second thing is expect to be filled. I mean, you know, you receive this relationship with the Holy Spirit by faith. The same way you receive salvation, by faith. So when I ask, I'm going to expect to be filled by faith. God, this promise is for me. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off and as many whom the Lord our God will call. That means you, 2014. That means me. The third thing is simply pray in the Holy Ghost. So ask, expect, and pray in the Holy Ghost. It's what you'll do. Okay, it's simply what you'll do. It's what happened to the people on the day of Pentecost. It's what you should expect to happen to you in your life. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm simply talking about living a spirit-filled life, not becoming a spectacle, not trying to scare people or scare yourself. It's simply saying, I'm yielding myself to the power of God's Spirit. Think of it this way. I was asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me explain this to folks because we get all wrapped up in a bunch of stuff about this. Think of it as filling up your car with gas. Okay, if you're going to fill up your car with gas, how many know the very first thing you have to do is you have to open the thingamahoochie. What is that thing that you open? The hatch, right? The gas latch, the hatch. You got to open it, okay? Because how many know, you pump gas and that hatch is not open, you got a mess. Matter of fact, you got a dangerous situation. Somebody should leave, all right? Call somebody, all right? That's not good. So to open the hatch is what I would call asking. You just got to ask. Lord, I'm open. I'm opening myself to you to pour out your Spirit in my life, okay? So it simply is opening up the gas hatch. And then you got to pump the gas. All right, if you're going to fill up your car with gas, you got to squeeze that thing, and there's got to be the petrol. The gasoline's got to move from the tank into you. That's praying. That's seeking. That's desiring. That means I'm going to seek after God, right? I'm going to be like Elijah going after that cloud. I'm not just once, not just twice. I'm going to keep going after God. I'm going to keep pumping, right? And then, how many know gasoline does not matter if you never start the car? Right? You never start the car. So in order for the gasoline to work, you gotta turn the ignition over. All right? You know, however your favorite engine revs. And what does that mean? That's the step of faith. To begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's the moment. Boom. That's the bam. You know, I'm just gonna step out in faith and I'm gonna turn this ignition and bam! I'm gonna start praying in the Holy Ghost. And next thing you know, boom, you're moving. You start going, wham, boom, boom. Hey, that's pretty awesome. How many know it's a step of faith to turn that key switch over? Right? You don't understand how that works, unless you're a mechanic, right? You don't understand. Why is it that I turn this key switch over, something happens to make the gas run, there's enough electricity to make it burn but not make it blow up? You know, I don't understand all that, so guess what? You don't have to understand everything about this thing either. You're just doing it by faith, okay? And so when it comes to receiving this baptism, Holy Spirit, you ask, you open the tank, you know, you pray, you seek until God fills you. And then by faith, boom, you pray in the Holy Ghost. You turn the ignition over. Now, let me ask you a question. What happens to the car when they go to the gas tank, gas station, they get filled up and they leave and they start driving around? What happens? You burn up the gas. And you run out of gas. And so you need to be filled up again and again. As long as you want to drive. As long as you want to keep moving. Nod your head if you understand this. Okay? Listen, that means that this baptism of the Holy Spirit is not ever intended to be a one-time experience. Right? So a lot of teenagers, they go to camp and God fills them with the Holy Spirit and like, wow, this is awesome, this is great, you know, and it lasts a few weeks or maybe in a few months, and after a while, I'm like, what happened? It's simple. You didn't backslide. You ran out of gas. You may want to go back to the gas station and get filled up again and again and again. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Listen, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the Spirit-filled life, not the end. I'm going to say that again. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the Spirit-filled life, not the end of it. So when Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He's saying, live a Spirit-filled life. And that's a whole lot more than just having one good experience at an altar where I prayed in a language I didn't know. The Bible says, stay filled with the Holy Spirit. It's found in Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Worship team, if you would help me. Jude says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I think we would be faithful to the text if we said it this way. Fill up yourselves in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Look at that. Do you see that? Fill up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What's praying in the Holy Ghost? That's praying in the Spirit. That's one of the reasons God gives us this spiritual language of praying in the Holy Ghost, so that we could keep the engine running and keep the gas filled up. What am I trying to tell you? There's a relationship with the Holy Spirit called being baptized in the Holy Spirit that I believe that God wants every believer to have, so that we could live in all that God wants us to have. And it's not just a one-time experience. God wants us to live a Spirit-filled life. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. You're saying, Pastor, if I don't get baptized in the Holy Spirit, then I'm always going to be bound by stuff? That is not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that God is offering us a gift, and God, that gift is the Spirit. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So no one here should feel any pressure to perform or do anything that you're just not going to do. But what you do, well, I think what all of us do want to do is say, Holy Spirit, I believe that you're a person, and I know that you're God, and I want more of you than I have right now. I want more of your presence. I want more of your power. I want more of your anointing in my life than I have right now. I think the service so far today, the worship and the response that we've seen, that there's a hunger in this place. There's a desire for more of God. We look around the world and we see all the worries and the fears and the stuff, and we say, where am I gonna go? And God says, you come to me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and be safe. Well, Pastor, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I want to be. In a few minutes, I want you to come. Pastor, I've had this experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I want more of God in my life. I want more of the Spirit in my life. And I honestly, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I honestly don't think that any of us would not respond to that. We need more of God's Spirit in our life. So here's what we're going to do today. I want us to take a step of faith. And what I'd like to do is we're going to have two lines of people to help us pray. And so we're going to create a line this way down this aisle and a line this way down this aisle. And what we're going to do is we're going to have you go and come through those prayer lines. And then as you come through the line, then you're going to come and find a place at the altar to pray. And stay as long as you want, stay as short as you want. Remember, you have as much of God as you want. And you say, Pastor, why do we need to walk through those lines? I believe symbolically it's going to be a doorway of faith. You're going to walk through a passageway. Behind it was the life that you had before today, and in front of it is a new level of your relationship with the Holy Spirit. As we were praying before the service today, my prayer team who was praying for me, one of them even said that God is going to open a door. God is going to open a door to a new level for many people here today. And that just confirmed what God was speaking to me, that we need to take this step. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like our pastors and our elders and their spouses. And then I'd like to ask the people who went to Peru on the missions team and the people who went to Haiti on the missions team. I want you to be my prayer teams here today. And then What I want you to do is you're going to split up into two groups. Some of you are going to come over here, and then you're going to form two lines so that people can walk through you. And then over here, you're going to form two lines so that people can walk through you. I'd like to also ask my prayer team, the people who prayed with us here today at 9 o'clock. Would you move right now, guys? Come on, would you move? Would you move? And we're going to prepare to pray. We're going to get ready to pray. I need the same number of folks over here.